Blog Talk Radio. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yahweh will manifest himself. If you praise him and you worship him in spirit and in truth, Yahweh, the Lord our God, he will manifest himself unto you. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for this time that we have together. We want to praise you. We want to honor you. We want to give you the glory due unto your name. Hallelujah. Yahweh will manifest himself. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord God Almighty. I just want you to think back, and if you could visualize it, as Moses was in the mountain and he saw the burning bush. God spoke to him. The angel spoke to him through that bush, but God's voice was transmitted there. And glory be to the Lord. When Moses spoke to him and he said, whom should I say sent me? He says, Yahweh, I am who I am. Hallelujah. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will manifest himself, and he does show himself to you. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, if you have an issue where you believe you don't hear the voice of God, or that God seems to be far away, he's there. He's right there. And he's talking to you by your spirit, by his Holy Spirit. You know, what you have to be is silent. Let him speak to you. Be silent from the worries of the world. Be silent from the situations and the circumstances of the world. Let the Holy Spirit open up your ears, and you will hear, you will receive the voice of God, and you will realize that God is not far from you. He loves you very much. Glory be to the Lord. The essence of the gospel is love. God is love, and he permeated the earth. He permeated heavens. He permeated this world. He transitioned from the spiritual to the known world that we have it in Jesus Christ. Glory to show us the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yahweh will manifest himself. If you remember, one of the names that they gave Jesus was Emmanuel. And that name means God with us. Hallelujah. Yahweh will manifest himself. Now, you might say, but Brother Ramos or Pastor Ramos, what is the name of God? Is it Jehovah, Yahweh? What is it? These are names and titles that he's known by the people of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Word of God tells me in Philippians that he gave a name to Jesus above every other name. That at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Adonai. At that word, that title Adonai is only attributed to God. Jesus Christ is Adonai, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. So everything that we do these days, because we're under the grace of God, we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Times in the past, the Israelites would erect a altar, and depending on the circumstances and how God manifested himself and what he did, they would make a name there. They would put a name to it. We know that some of the Canaanites, some of the people who didn't know God, use that name as well for idols. But the true and one God, the true and the living God, is the God who, because of Israel's sake, brought forth deliverance. He redeemed them out of the hand of Pharaoh. Glory be to the Lord. So before we go on, let me just share some things with you. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr. of The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, your host here on Blog Talk Radio. And you could call 516-418-5433. 5944. Press number 1 to be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And as you know, the itinerary for the church, and that is every Sunday at 7 p.m. like tonight, we have the Bible mystery. These weeks we've been dealing with the names and or titles of God. And some of the songs that we play, they are appropriate to the study that we do in that day. So today we heard a song, Yahweh, and we were going to talk about Yahweh today. But the question is, what does Yahweh mean? What does it mean? Where in the Bible do we find it? Why was God called Yahweh? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So on Sundays at 7 p.m., we have the Bible mystery. On Tuesdays at 7 p.m., we have intercessory prayer. On Thursdays, we have Bible study. And the main subject is what's next? What's next? And we've taken on to explain the difference between rapture and second coming. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So I would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, The Way, The Truth, and The Life Tabernacle, Pastor Carlos A. Ramos. And if you have any questions, you could call that number, 516-418-5944. Or if you have any comments or testimonies as well, we would listen to those as well. If you'd like to speak to the pastor privately after the show, you could call 772-626-3178 after 8 o'clock, of course, after the show is over. If you'd like to send an email to the church, you could email the church at WTL, that stands for The Way, The Truth, and The Life, WTL, Tabernacle, @gmail.com. And when you send the email, you will receive a response. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. One thing that we have to admit and we have to divulge to everyone, everyone who's sincere in the service of the Lord, and that is that we don't know it all. There are things so deep that we don't know it all. But we ask in prayer, we ask God to give us a rhema word, a revelational word, you know, like he gave John the Apostle revelations. He gave him an open understanding, and that's what we ask for. We have the locus word, the written word, and we know that this is a copy of the original one in heaven. Heaven and earth will pass away, but Jesus said, but my word will remain forever. The word is truth. The word is alive. The word is spirit. Glory be to the Lord. So we ask God for a rhema word. We just don't want to have a head knowledge. We want to have an experimental relationship experience with God Almighty through his word, through his spirit. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're not sure about these things, the best thing to do is ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you to a church where you're going to grow spiritually and that you become part of the ministry in whatever capacity God uses you. Each of us have a gift within us. You have to discover, you ask God, what is your gift? How do you operate in the church? Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So that's the itinerary of the church. A little disclaimer, and that is that the songs that we play here on Blog Talk Radio, they do not belong to Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. They do not belong to The Way, The Truth, and Life Tabernacle. They do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists who sing the song and produce the songs. But because we bought the original CDs, DVDs, and albums, in it we have permission to use their songs because that gives them also advertisement for their albums, CDs, DVDs. But we always pray and we always ask the Holy Spirit which song should we use for this program today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the song that we chose today, Yahweh, he will manifest himself if you praise him. He will manifest himself if you adore him. God loves you very much. You know, just think about it. Think about the times where you were in despair. Think about the times where you felt alone. Think about the time where there's trouble all around. God was there with you. There's nothing bigger than God. God is greater than everything, than all the circumstances, all the problems, all the situations, everything. The enemy may try you, but in Christ Jesus, you have the victory. You have to proclaim it. The word of God says, in your tongue, you have the power of life and death. You have the power. Glory be to God. That's why, for me, Mark 11:24 is my favorite verse. And it says, when you pray, because when Jesus, this is the instructions Jesus gave the disciples. He said, when you pray, believe that you have it and you shall receive it. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to thank God always and praise God for my healing in my body. So I always claim it. I thank you, Father, you heal me. Thank you, Lord God, you heal me. Thank you, Lord God. All praise and honor do unto you. And I speak those things that are not as though they are, like Paul said in Corinthians. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today, we're dealing with Yahweh. What does the name or the title Yahweh means? Some are titles, some are names. This is a name that God goes by. Yahweh. You know, a lot of people, they reserve themselves to calling him Jehovah. It's the same word. And the reason I say it's the same word, because you have to understand in the Jewish vernacular, there is no vowels. Everything is consonants. So sometimes you write a Yahweh and sometimes you write it Jehovah. It's the same. Because you're using the four letters of the tetragram. Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. When you look at Yahweh, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, the Y, the H, the W, the H. Glory be to the Lord. And let me just share something with you that I saw this past week on YouTube. Science channel, and that is that, you know, there was to speak about our DNA. It looks like a two-sided ladder, you know, but those things that extend themselves from one side to the other, they call that the bridges, and they found numbers related to these bridges, and then it's the number 10, the number 5, the number 6, and the number 5. And it corresponds to the tetragram, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. Yod, which is the Y, is 10. Heh is number 5. Vav is the W, is number 6. And Heh is number 5 again. So when you look at the Jewish alphabet, they have numerical, they have pictogram, and they have the alphabet. And when you look at the numerical value of each of the letters, you'll understand, you know, these numbers correspond with the tetragram, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh, 10, 5, 6, 5. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're looking at Yahweh. Let's look at some of the verses. Maybe them might be able to help you out as to what does Yahweh mean? What does it mean? And I just want to say, if you get the answer correctly, if you call this number, 516-418-5944, press number 1, your hand will go up. I could see that. And I would answer your call. And if you get the answer correctly, the church will mail you out a free accordion-style bulletin of the tabernacle. It talks about the furnishings, the clothes of the high priest, symbolisms that point to Jesus, and many other things are there. And I recommend that you keep it in your Bible, so when you have an appointment and you're waiting to be called, you could take out your tabernacle pamphlet and study the tabernacle and learn it and understand that the tabernacle was also known as a tabernacle of the congregation. It was also known as a tent of meetings. God would speak to Moses and the people from the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord. And it was a portable tabernacle. When the cloud by day moved, they would take down the tabernacle and they follow the cloud. When the cloud would stop, they would rebuild the tabernacle and continue the services. Glory be to the Lord. And then eventually we know King David's son Solomon built the first temple, and it was being called temple then, not the tabernacle. Temple number one and temple number two. They don't have a temple right now. The temple number two was destroyed by Titus and his army, the Roman soldiers, back in 70 AD. They desecrated like the Greeks' leader desecrated the temple. He brought a pig in and he made some Jews eat it, and they worshiped this pig on the altar in the temple. Tiffany's Epiphanes number four. And then we see Titus. So they're looking to build the third temple. They do have the menorah. They do have the red heifers that they need for the ashes. And, you know, they want to build the walls of the tabernacle there. What one thing is studying the Bible, and that is that some people believe the temple should be built where the Islamic mosque is at. But if you study the scriptures carefully, the springs of Gihon, which rose up in the tabernacle, is in the city of David. That's where the temple should be, in the city of David. Not up there. That was called Suetonia. The Roman soldiers, it was a campsite for them. And, you know, they destroyed that area because of the rebellion of the Jews way back when. So let's read a little bit of what Yahweh said to his people. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 13. And it says, correction, verse 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? That's what Moses asked God. For some of us, we have the same type of question. Who am I, Lord? I don't deserve this. But, you know, in God's plan, he has a purpose. And Moses should understand that, and we should understand there is a purpose in God's plan, and we should just be obedient. Glory be to the Lord. And he says, suddenly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee. And this is Yahweh, or God, speaking to Moses. He said, suddenly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Glory be to the Lord. So we know that Moses ran to the area called Midian, because he killed the Egyptian, and his own Jewish friends accused him of murder. And he ran trying to hide from Pharaoh and his army. But God had other purposes. He ended up in Jethro's camp, and he married Jethro's daughter, Zipporah. And one day, as Moses was tending the sheep, he saw something that attracted him, and that was a bush was on fire, but it did not burn. How could that be? Now, Moses was very intelligent because he went through the school of the Egyptian science. He knew a little bit of what was happening in the world. He knew the military things that he had to learn. And this thing caught his attention. A bush on fire, but it did not burn. Imagine that. You know, what is it that God needs to do for you to respond to him? Do you need a burning bush in your life to get your attention? I mean, you want to go to heaven, but you are restraining yourself from serving God. God loves you very much, and he doesn't want no one to perish. That's why his patience is extended, because he wants people to be saved. So what does it take for us to be obedient unto God Almighty? Do we need a burning bush to grab our attention to a circumstance, an event in our life, something, tragedy happens to catch our attention? We wouldn't have none of that if we were obedient to the Lord. As you read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you as to the things that are of the gods and the things that you should follow. Glory be to the Lord. So this is the token. He told Moses, this is the token. This is the evidence that I called you. He says, when you bring the people out of Egypt and you come to this mountain, Mount Sinai, to worship me, then you would know that I has called you, even though you don't think that you're worthy of it right now. There was another prophet called Jeremiah. You remember? Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. How can I do these things? But God said, I'll be with you. Don't be afraid of their faces. So Moses saw the burning bush. God gave him directions, but Moses right away asked the question, who am I to go to tell Pharaoh to let your people go? Who am I? And God not only confirmed the instructions that he had for Moses, but he told them that he was going to be with him. He was not going to go on his own. God was going to be with him. He said, certainly I will be with thee, and this will be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. This is what God is telling, Yahweh is telling Moses. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you see, call those things that are not as though they are. God already spoke the word into existence. He already said, when you bring the people out of Egypt. So right there, Moses should have had a reservation and should have said, okay, I know that God is going to deliver us. He's going to set us free. And so we're going to follow. We're going to be obedient unto the Lord. And then he said, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And that's where Moses brought the people to Mount Sinai to worship God. But you know the story. Moses went up and God came down. And that's the type of the rapture. But Moses went to get the commandments, the word of God, the Ten Commandments. And when he came down, you know, God told him, go down, the people, there's a great noise of revelry down there. And when Moses came down, he saw that there was a festival going on. He saw that there was a graven images created there. Aaron said he took the gold and put it into the fire, and out came this calf. That was a lie. It didn't come out by itself. He hammered it. He put it all together. And he made a calf. He even told, and you could tell by his explanation, he tells the people, these are the gods that deliver thee out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, unto Yahweh, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you. Now, remember, when you hear the God of your fathers, when you hear fathers, think about the patriarchs. Think about Abraham. Think about Isaac. Think about Jacob and his 12 sons, the God of your fathers. And you see it throughout scriptures, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God is telling Moses, you know, think about these things. You're not alone. People have come before you and have gone through certain circumstances, and I've always been with them to deliver them. God is saying, the God of your father has sent me unto you. This is what you, Moses, supposed to say. And they say unto me, this is Moses. He is giving God what if situation. What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Because he was going to a stubborn people. The Jewish people at that time, they were very stubborn. You know, they enjoyed the lifestyle that they had in Egypt. They know they were being persecuted. They were enslaved to the pharaohs. They were enslaved to the Egyptians. They had taskmasters and everything like that. But they were multiplying tremendously, and they had a lot of the gifts given over unto them from the time of Joseph. If you remember, they went and they settled in a beautiful town, and they was prosperous. So, you know, it's hard to let go of things that you have, you know, for the things of God. It just appears like, well, I'm giving this up. No, you're not giving anything up. What we have is gifts of God. He gave us these things, and he brings us to the point of testing to see if we worship that item or we worship him. We cannot worship the item more than the person of God. If God gives you a gift, you cannot worship the gift greater than the gift giver. I said unto Moses, in verse 14, I am that I am. That's what in response that Moses was supposed to give the Jewish people, the Israelites. I am that I am, Yahweh. That's Yahweh. That's what that means. I am that I am. In that scripture. But the question, what does it mean, Yahweh? It's the name of God, but what does it mean? Here, he's telling Moses, tell him that I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. But he's not explaining who the I am is. He's not explaining what Yahweh is. He's just giving them the answer that God gave him to respond to. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. So you want to know the name of God? His name is I Am. if you remember reading the Gospel of John chapter 17, where Jesus is talking to the Father, he in one point he says, Father, I have given them your name. And when you look at the Gospels, Jesus always used I am, because that the relationship that he had with his Father. Remember, there was a question of Abraham. He says, before Abraham was, I am. So it was not a trick answer. He was very direct, telling them who he was. And so is God telling Moses who he is. And God brought the people of Israel out through the hand of Moses. He redeemed them. They went through the Red Sea. They went to celebrate Sukkah, the tents, the cabins, the little houses that they made. Even unto this day, they celebrate tabernacles. And that's what that means, tabernacles. God is tabernacle with us. So they go out and they build these little tabernacles once a year, in memory of what happened when they came out of Egypt. Glory be to the Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. This is what God continues to say. He says to Moses, go and gather the elders of Israel together. Say unto them, the Lord God, Yahweh. If you look at your Bible clearly, Lord is capitalized. Anytime that you see the word Lord capitalized, it is speaking of the name Yahweh. Or the tetragram. Jewish people do not mention the name of Yahweh. It's too sacred for them. So they use the tetragram, or they use Adonai, or Elohim, or Hashem. He says, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appear unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of Canaan, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God, Yahweh of the Hebrews, have met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt would not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders which I do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that where you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourned in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians. So, you know, God is confirming his covenant with Moses and the Israel people. And he's telling them, listen, you're not going to be by yourself. I, the Lord God, I, Yahweh, will be with you. I'm not going to leave you alone stranded. This battle is not going to be yours. This situation is not going to be yours alone. Glory be to the Lord of God Almighty. So let's get back to the question, my brothers and sisters. What does Yahweh mean in the Bible? Where in the Bible do we find it? I'm only asking that you answer the first question. That's the one with the gift. The other two is for you to understand, because where in the Bible do we find it? Well, chapter 3 of Exodus. That's the first place in the whole Bible where the name Yahweh appears. Remember, when you see the word Lord capitalized, it's talking about the name of God, Yahweh. Why was God called Yahweh? Well, we read the story of Israel coming out of Egypt. God redeemed them from that situation. So why was God called Yahweh? Because God redeemed them from the slavery that they was in. God told Abraham that they would be enslaved for 400 years, but he would punish that nation that would enslave them. That would be the Egyptians. And that's what happened. There were 10 plagues that came upon Egypt. The last plague was the death of the firstborn son, you know? And Israel put the blood of the lamb on the posts of the house, on the lintels and on the posts. And the death angel passed over the house that was covered by the blood. And that was a symbolism. That was a type of the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. It's placed on the doorposts and the lintels of our heart. And the death angel passed over us. So we celebrate the Passover not just once a year, but every day. Every day we thank God. Every day we celebrate the Sabbath rest. Every day. We don't wait till Friday. It's every day is our Sabbath day. Every day is our Passover. Because the Bible says tomorrow is not promised to no one. Is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So knowing the terror of God, we compel you to leave your sin. Stop compromising with sin and ask God come into your heart to cleanse you. Repent of your sins. Turn away from them. Do them no more. And come unto the Lord's. And God will deliver you like he delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. He will deliver you from this world, from the things of this world. You know, the Bible says in the letters of John, what is it that overcomes the world? He tells us, our faith. So we have faith in our God. You know, we trust him with everything, that we should submit ourselves unto him, because this is serious business, my brothers and sisters. When they asked Jesus, you know, of his coming, he said, just like the days of Noah, just like the days of Lot. And my brothers and sisters, if you're sincere, if you read the story of Noah, you read the story of Lot, America, we live in a nation that is parallel to Sodom and Gomorrah, parallel to the problems that those people had in those days. You know, and God will deliver the righteous out of it. He promised a rapture. He promised to take us out of this world. He promised to deliver us from the hour of temptation. He promised we were not appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God tells us we're going to meet Christ in the air, in the clouds, and he's going to take us to his Father's house, and we're going to sit in his throne. But those that are left behind would have to deal with a seven-year tribulation. Oh, yes, yeah, some people will be saved during that time. But the difference between then and now, and that is that now Christ gave his life 2,000 years for our salvation. When the seven-year tribulation occurs and the Antichrist is in control, he will behead those that follow Jesus. So now Jesus gave his life for us, but then you have to give your life for Christ. And you won't be part of the church, because the church is going to be raptured out before that seven-year tribulation. We're going to be with the Lord in the clouds. He's going to take us to his Father's house. We're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to sit down and have a sitting meal. We're going to have the wedding feast of the Lamb. The Bible says in Revelations 19:9, blessed are those that are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. We are blessed, my brothers and sisters. And in chapter 1 of Revelation, it says, he made a kings and priests unto himself. At one time, there was an archangel who drew one-third of the angels with him, and he disobeyed God. He wanted to be like God, and God cast him out of heaven. He is known by the name of Lucifer, by the name of Satan, the dragon, the beast. And we, the born-again Christians, have replaced all of them. We are the bride of Christ. We're going to be raptured up in a twinkling of an eye. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. And we're going to be home with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. And it's nothing that we have done except to be obedient, because Christ did it all. He died on the cross. He opened his arms. At the same time that the high priest was signifying that the work in the temple was done, it is finished, Jesus Christ, with his arms extended, also said, it is finished. And he shed his blood for the atonement of our sins, that we can be made righteous before our God. And we worship him, and we give him all the honor. So, my brothers and sisters, we got about 8 minutes to go. I want you to think about what we talked about. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, maybe it's time for you to close your eyes and contemplate what God has for you. You know, we don't have a ritual to give you to do certain things like you see on TV or whatever. But speak to God from your heart. Mean it. You know, if tears come out, let the tears come out. But mean it from your heart. Ask God to cleanse you. Ask God to come into your heart and be your Savior, be your Lord, be your Master. Ask God to give you a guarantee, like he told Moses. This is the token. We have a token, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit in us. When we were born again, the Bible says God sealed us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. So just like he gave Moses a token, he's given us a token. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He promised the Holy Spirit, and he gave it to gave us his Holy Spirit. He gave us himself, because God, the Holy Spirit, is God. And he lives within us. And he's guiding us and directed us in the way we should go. You can't do nothing to earn it. The Bible says, unless the Holy Spirit draws you, you cannot be saved. All we do is humble ourselves before the living God. Humble ourselves. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you ask God to cleanse you, to come into your heart, to save you, to write your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life before the terrible day of the Lord comes. Sisters and then say, oh, wow, the Christians are right. All through history, we have suffered persecution. The Christians have suffered a lot. And God said he will avenge. Vengeance is his. He destroyed the world once with water, and he gave us the rainbow as a covenant that he won't do it again. But he said next time it will be with fire, a fervent heat. Like if you read Peter, everything, heaven and earth, would melt away because of the fervent heat. We see that the Lord rescued Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah with his two daughters, the two sons-in-law and the mother. They all had an opportunity to be saved as well. But the two sons-in-law wanted to remain in Sodom and Gomorrah. They liked what they were doing. The mother looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah, not because of the destruction that was happening, but because she didn't want to leave her comfort zone. And she looked back. She disobeyed. The angel told her, don't look back. Run. Go to the mountains. And Lot pleaded with them to allow them to go to Zoar. And the angel allowed them to go to Zoar. But the wife looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. She died. She did not make it in, but she had the opportunity. The sons-in-law did not make it in, and they had the opportunity, but they remained in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of the actions that they were taking. So you have an opportunity today, my brothers and sisters, at the sound of my voice, you know, when the program is over, at your time, when you have time, when you get nice and still, nice and quiet, speak to God from your heart. Let it be that if we awaken tomorrow, that you awaken newness, something new. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, they that are in Christ are new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so is what we are born again, my brothers and sisters. Leave the past behind. We are brand new in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us and direct us. You know? But it takes you. God will not force no one to be saved. He will not force anyone. People that go to hell is only because God is accommodating their wishes. They rejected God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Don't you be part of that. You have an opportunity tonight to make it right with God. Is it going to be a bed of roses? Nope. You're going to have trials and tribulations. But be a good cheer. Christ has overcome the world. Just give everything to the Lord and trust him. And you'll see how God will bring you through like he did to the Israelites out of Egypt. He brought them out. He redeemed them. So, my brothers and sisters, we about finished with the program. We got about 2 minutes to go. What I want to share is that next Sunday, we're going to be looking at Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi. We're going to ask the same questions again. What does Jehovah Nissi mean? Where in the Bible do we find Jehovah Nissi? And why was God called Jehovah Nissi? Hallelujah. That's for next Sunday at 7 p.m., Bible Mystery. Don't forget, Tuesday at 7 p.m., we have the intercessory prayer. Thursday, we have Bible study, and we're looking at the difference between the rapture and the return. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Once again, if you want to speak with Pastor Ramos at the end of the show, when everything is turned off, you could call 772-626-3178. Or if you want to send an email to the church, it's wtltabernacle@gmail.com. And what I like always say is, may God bless you. May the Lord love you. May the Lord give you peace. May the Lord have his face shine upon you. And until the next time, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a good night now.